The crowds of protesters have become crowds of mourners, and the media circus continues. But earlier today, Terri Schiavo, the brain-damaged Florida woman at the center of it all, passed away. The highly public court fight over Schiavo's fate and who exactly had the right to make those decisions for her encouraged thousands of Americans to look into drawing up living wills. If you had a living will before the Schiavo case or made one because of it, we'd like to hear from you. What were the hardest decisions you had to make? Have you changed your mind about the end-of-life care you want? Give us a call. Our number is 800-989-TALK. That's 800-989-8255. Joining us now is Nancy Coleman, Director of the American Bar Association's Commission on Law and Aging. Thanks for coming into the studio.
Thank you. My pleasure.
What exactly is laid out in a living will?
A living will is a statement of one's intentions about generally death, how one wants to die, and the kinds of medical interventions that the person wants to have happen. It's limiting in the sense that it's not active. That is, you don't have an agent or an advocate that says, I want my mother to have this, this, and this. Rather, it's simply a statement at one point in time. And we at the ABA and other advocates believe that it would be much more powerful for people to use either something known as a healthcare power of attorney, a healthcare proxy, an advanced directive, which does give you the chance to name somebody to be your advocate.
So I've heard people describe a living will as an advanced medical directive. They're not the same thing, though.
Well, an advanced medical directive incorporates both concepts, the concept that you direct what you want to have happen if you no longer can make those decisions at the end of your life. An advanced directive that includes a proxy delegation or a durable power of attorney or some other designation such as that gives the power to somebody else to make those decisions. So, for instance, you might say, I don't want to have a ventilator. I don't want to have CPR. I don't want to have antibiotics in case something happens to me. Well, those statements are said in a context, perhaps as we are right now on the death of Terri Schiavo, but they may not be applicable to your situation when you are faced with some medical decisions. So it's better to have somebody who can evaluate what the situation is and act on your behalf.
And so you choose someone and give them this durable power of attorney.
Right, for healthcare decisions,
might
yes.
Might be a relative, might be someone who's not a relative, because
correct.
A relative might have too much at stake in,
right.
in this whole thing.
Well, a relative might not be able to make a decision. Mm-hmm. That's true. I mean, it's really very important that you, one, first, think about what it is that you want to do. Second, have a conversation with others about what you might want to happen to you. Third, write it down. Fourth, communicate that with the person that you want to make your decisions, and then share it with other family members. It's critical that what you want is shared so that there is a collective sense of what it is that you want.
And you do this so that in the case that you lose your mental capacity or are so ill or sick that you can't make a decision, that someone else can make it for you.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really very important to understand that not all of the healthcare decisions that are made are life and death decisions. That is, not at the terminal point of the last point of life, but rather, as I come to the studio today, I cross the street and I could be hit by a car and I could be in a hospital for some time, and decisions would need to be made about me. I could regain consciousness, I could regain my capacity to make decisions, but during that period of incapacity, I need somebody else to make those decisions, and that's what a durable power for healthcare will get you in addition to those kinds of advocacy at the end of life.
Do you need a lawyer to draw this up?
You don't need a lawyer. It sounds funny coming from somebody from the American Bar Association. but let's talk about what it is that these items are. They are declarations of what you want. if, in fact, you come from a very contentious family, i.e. Terri Schiavo's family, or you are in a relationship that you want your partner to make the decisions for you and you know that other family members might disagree, or you've had a history of disagreement with your family, you might really want to have your documents put together by a lawyer. You might really want to make sure that they fit all of the ABCs of your particular state. But just as we had a number of years ago in the Nancy Cruzan case in 1990, then the Supreme Court in their decision said, in Sandra Day O'Connor's dissent, she said that you could write your wishes on the back of a grocery bag. Well, if you can write your wishes on the back of a grocery bag, it seems to me that it's not necessary, according to her, that you need to have a lawyer. But you do need to look to make sure that, for instance, if in fact you decide to forego nutrition and hydration, that you look at what the current law is in your state on that and make sure that you write it correctly. You can find most of this information out by going to the internet, by going to a local hospital and looking at the forms that they have there.
Mm-hmm. In fact, a number of states, you can find these forms on the internet, and different states have different forms, but you could simply fill some of them out.
Correct. You want to make sure that when you fill them out, you follow all the instructions. For instance, it might be that you need some witnesses. It might be that you need to have something notarized. But you want to share this. I mean, it's not something that you write and put in a drawer someplace, because then no one's going to know about it. But rather, you share it with your family. You share it with your medical personnel. Hopefully you have a doctor. I mean, I know this is a very difficult issue for people given the medical situation these days, but that you share those things and you share it so that people understand what your philosophy is about life and death and health care.
You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Now, you mentioned having a discussion with your family. This is a very important thing to talk over with your family, actually, because you have... it becomes such an emotional thing when you're incapacitated.
Yes, you need to have this discussion before you're incapacitated. Most of us don't realize that there will be periods in all of our lives where we will suffer from chronic illness, from periods of incapacity. And so we need to share those things. I think that if I look back on last Sunday, and I say last Sunday was Easter Sunday, and most families were probably together on Easter Sunday, and whether or not they were discussing the issues of the day, my guess is Terri Schiavo came up in those discussions. And I think that the implication that I would draw from that is that people were sharing what their perceptions were of how they wanted to be treated if they were found to be in similar circumstances. And that's a really critical issue, and we need to listen carefully as that is discussed among family members.
Let's get our callers in on the discussion. We'll go to Barbara in Portland, Oregon. Hello, Barbara. You're on the program. Welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My husband and I both have living wills. We did it with our attorney when we did our estate planning. And the other thing that he suggested was doing a financial power of attorney so that if one of us were to become disabled, you know, all of our financial information and all of our financial affairs are jointly held. And so if I were to become disabled, for example, he couldn't do anything unless he had a power of attorney to be able to do that. And so that was another document that we signed together.
Our expert lawyer here thinks maybe you got that a little bit wrong.
Well, we're here to talk about health care today,
right.
And I think that health care is slightly different. But I think that you ought to talk a little bit with your attorney, because in general, people who have jointly held assets, bank accounts, and stuff like that can act for one another whether or not there's a durable power of attorney present, simply because you own things in joint ownership.
Barbara, let me ask you what prompted you to do a living will.
Well, we were planning to take a long trip, and it was actually the estate planning. He included it as a part of our estate planning. Mm-hmm. And I'm a licensed clinical social worker. I work in healthcare, and so that was another reason that we decided to do it.
Did you have a discussion with your family about it, or did you just you and your husband sit down with the lawyer and decide what to do?
It was just me and my husband that sat down and did it. My children were young at the time. We've had living wills for quite some time. I also wanted to respond to what she said about the joint accounts. Oregon is not a community property state, and so I don't know that that's...
You may be the one who is correct then. Thank you. Yeah. Thanks very much, Barbara. We appreciate your call today.
All right. Thanks for taking my call. Mm-hmm.
Let's go to another caller, Mary in Charlotte, North Carolina. Mary, welcome to the program.
Thank you. My question is, I have designated a healthcare power of attorney, and this is someone that is not related to me. It's a very good friend that I have complete trust in to carry out my wishes. I have two sons, one of which I've had a history of disagreement. I just want to make sure that should I ever become incapacitated, that there will be no chance that someone could override my wishes like, you know, a child of mine. Mm-hmm. And because I want this person I've designated to be my health care power of attorney to make all the decisions.
Let's ask Nancy Coleman what she thinks.
First of all, I hope that you've had a discussion with your friend about what kinds of decisions you want him to make.
Right. I have.
Okay. Second is that have you shared with your children that this person is the person to make decisions?
Yes, and it was not taken too well by the son that I've had disagreements with.
Well, I would simply make a note of that. I mean, again, we've seen in the last 2 weeks,
right,
the courts and the legislatures act in very strange ways, not anything that we would have ever predicted to have happened. So I think that you are on safe grounds. I am not providing a legal opinion here. I am simply saying I think you've taken care of what you need to take care of, and I think you let your other son know that, again, this is the decision maker, and you hope that he will back her up as well.
Thank you for your call, Mary, and thank you for your time. Nancy Coleman directs the American Bar Association's Commission on Law and Aging, and she joined us in Studio 3A. For a primer on living wills and our complete coverage of the Terry Schiavo story, go to our website, www.npr.org. In Washington, John Idstey, NPR News.